The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Welcome, everybody, to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. Today, Alan and I are going to talk about communities, building communities, why communities are important, what you need to do with them once you have built one. I think this conversation came about because, obviously, in the world of blockchain, communities are a very big thing. You'll see a lot of passionate people in the crypto space on Twitter, Discord, Telegram channels. And one of the things, one of the ways people promote their projects is by going into different communities and doing things like Ask Me Anythings and promoting themselves and trying to spread knowledge. And when we were into Factor, that was the one way that we could actually engage with people, right? That was the one thing that we could do in order for us to spread the message, simply because, you know, we were starting from scratch. And there was nobody out there that, you know, for us to get interest organically would have taken a lot of time, simply because what we're doing is B2B, you have to explain it to people. So for us to go out and build the communities, it was very, very important. And we're still doing that. We have a number of people in our communities on different channels. We're trying to bring them all together in one place. But that whole thing is what will drive our project forward. So I guess, Alan, question for you is, let's say the non-crypto world, because I'm sure most of the people listening aren't involved in that. How important are communities to a normal business or a normal startup when they start beginning their journey?
So this really brings me back to my fundamental work that I've done my entire career, which is all around marketing. And I'm sure any of you listening regularly will hear me rambling on about this before, but what is marketing? It's not about advertising or promotion. Well, it is. That's one little element of it. It's this definition of identifying, anticipating, and satisfying customer requirements. And really what I see communities being about are a bunch of people with similar requirements who come together and identify as a group. So really, this idea of entering and building communities is the absolute fundamentals of what marketing is about. Because when you bring that group together, they all share something. They all share either an interest or a requirement or a point of view on whatever the issue is. So what you're doing, or what you've been doing with the Factor in the blockchain community, is identifying groups who share an interest. And then from the business perspective, what you're doing is identifying what actually is their issue, what is it now, what might it mean in the future. And when it comes to satisfying, you're not necessarily selling hard into them right now, but you're looking at how can we get involved in this. Because these people, if they're not buying customers right now, they will be customers and partners in the future. So really, the whole issue around communities and the work that you're doing is really subconsciously, absolutely all about strategic marketing.
So the question then becomes, is this something that, when you start a community, is it, should you have the attitude that you're looking to sell immediately, or is it, do you start on a different path? Are you trying to provide knowledge sharing or content sharing or something else first before you try and get people to sell, or is it actually not about selling?
That all comes down to then identifying and understanding the community's requirements. Because sometimes, if you, let's say, open butcher shop on the local high street, you're aiming to identify a local community of people who want to buy fresh meat and meat products locally. And that's an actual demand that you can sell to from day one. But sometimes what you need to do is go out and build your community. Bring people together who are not yet ready to buy. I mean, you've got a longer sales process or a nurturing process to do it. And I suspect that's really what you're all about. You didn't build the Factor. Your idea for the Factor wasn't, Rodney, tomorrow we'll be millionaires. It wasn't that you were going to go and sell loads of stuff immediately. But you knew there was a group out there that you could nurture and develop and grow. And actually, I believe a lot of what what you're doing and what you're telling me you've been doing this week, attending conferences to be part of the community and influence the community, is helping develop your understanding of what those requirements actually are, to make sure that when you develop and deliver your product to market, you're clunky language, but there's a great product market fit. Because the better you understand that community, that group, the more likely you are to develop exactly the best fit for their needs. And that, you know, this is in marketing. You know, often I sit down with businesses and they say, oh, we don't do much marketing. And then I get to tell them, well, we spend a lot of time talking to customers and yeah, we do a lot of development and iteration of products and showing the people to see what they think. And then end up going, you're doing a massive amount of marketing. What you're maybe not doing is advertising it, but you're actually doing that fundamental. And this is where the communities, or whatever you want to call them, target audiences, groups, archetypes, whatever you want to call them, understanding them is absolutely essential. And if you can build that around your brand, you're absolutely convinced. When you understand them like an insider, that's what really, really brings big dividends.
Yeah, I think what's interesting with the world of crypto is that if you take de facto away, because the interesting thing with de facto is because it's a B2B business, the people in the community may not necessarily be the ones who use the service to get financing. But the idea being is if they like what they see, they may want to fund some of the businesses that come our way. Or alternatively, they may be the ones who can evangelize what we're doing to in other countries and things like that. It's an indirect benefit, which
but
is great.
These are all some communities. You know, this is not a linear process. This is not you fit in one neat hole. You will have the same people that are members of various different communities. So let me throw a really relevant, pertinent, cheesy examples right now. I sit here as a member of thousands of different communities, from the type of car I like to drive, not necessarily the brand or the model, but I always kind of like a very safe, comfy estate car. You know what? It might be utterly the opposite of you, but those people that are like me, and there must be loads of them, there's loads of those cars out there, they get what it's all about. We don't really need to explain and rationalize to each other. If you don't get it, it's not for you. That's just fine. Do whatever you want. I drove out a meeting yesterday, a guy exactly the same age, profile as me, jumped into a sports car. And I thought, it's lovely, it's not for me. And he probably looked at me and went, Alan, I would never do that. So that's the amount of community he gets that. So I sit here as a member of many, many, from the foods that I like, the sports I enjoy, the holidays I enjoy, the fact I'm looking at a PC and not a Mac right now. These are all different communities, and we're able to coexist along them all. But what matters is that the really, really valuable ones are where you're a member of it, and it becomes like almost an unspoken bond. We don't really need to explain to each other why it's important. There's no justification required. We get it, and that's all that matters.
So from a practical perspective, how do you start building the communities? Like we were discussing... We were discussing today, right, that we've had our 500 or more than that listeners, 1,000 plus downloads. We started this off as an experiment, and it's gaining some momentum. And obviously, we want to try and leverage what we're doing. And you know, right now, everyone's pretty anonymous, right? The only person I see is you. Like, we don't know who else is really listening. So we need to. It would be great to engage with everyone who has, just to even get some feedback on what we're talking about. How are we going to do it? If we take our own medicine,
what's our plan? Well, I think there's a really good question here, which is, do you build a community or do you enter a community? Does it need to exist before you can join it and do something? Or is it possible to actually bring together a group of people, interest, businesses, and create something brand new? I do believe you can build a community. You can create something from nothing. That is incredibly hard to do, because you've got to do all the work to bring those interests together. it is much easier to go and identify a group, a community, whatever you want to call it, and join that community and then become a distinctive part of it. So in the work that you and I have been doing, you know, there's a community called entrepreneurs, there's a community called small business owners, there's a community called early stage business owners. They identify as, or maybe not called, they identify. And when you're part of that, as I mentioned earlier on about things rumbling in state cars, when you're part of it, you go, oh yeah, I recognize I'm part of that. And you and I were part of that broader community because of our background and our interests. So we've created this thing. But we've not built a community around it. We entered that community and started participating in it. When it comes to building a community, I believe 90%, 99%, you've got to go in and demonstrate your value, and then you begin to develop a cohort around you, another little sub-community. So there's loads of people doing what we do. Why is there ever any room for us? Well, what we do is a little bit different. At the most fundamental level, it's that Lord Barab that I met before. That Glow Allen that I heard talking on whatever or doing whatever he did. And you know what? They were kind of like me. Like, it's state car drivers. They're kind of share things. I'm not going to join that. So what I'm really trying to get to there is, I think it's very difficult to say, I'm going to go and build an extensive community. I think it's much more likely that success comes from really understanding what it is about an existing community that makes it distinctive, and then joining it. And then acolytes is an extreme term for it. But building a group around you that share your view or share a common view with you that you can be the nucleus of. And that's actually quite hard. Easy to be part of a community, it's much harder to be in the heart of the community.
Ah, but then in our case here, we already have a community simply because of the number of people that have actually listened to the things that we're saying. So in a way, we've built that community without really consciously making a huge effort. Well, but it exists now, so I think, isn't it about leveraging?
I think, interestingly, you and I, when we set out to do this, and I put this on a little LinkedIn post the other day when we got women back, where that one was to celebrate 500 listeners. I think we're now 600 and some listeners. We never set out to say, we're going to create a community, and we're going to do it for this reason and that reason, and we'll have commercial measures of success. We set out to enjoy ourselves, and we do. And maybe that's why this is doing reasonably well. We're not trying to sell anybody anything right now. We're not making people do this, change their behaviours or any of that stuff. It's creating an organic community, and it is organic right now. The best way to grow a community is almost in the underground. You know, in marketing terms or sales terms, we might call it member get member. People go and tell you, and tell their friends who they think have like-minded interests about a group that they're part of, be that formal or informal, say, come along. You'll enjoy it. And you come along and you tell more and more and more. Now, that is just the perfect way to grow a brand, to grow a business, to grow a whatever. Now, the reality for most commercials is that doesn't happen fast enough. So once you've got all the other elements of what we're really all about, then we understand our community, we understand what we do, we deliver for them, we understand what the cost of interacting with that will be, we understand what our distribution channels will be. We've got enough evidence that allows people that are looking from the outside to go, yeah, I like what they're doing. Then we can go out and advertise it. And then that enters into that world of what's the right way to win customers through advertising. For us, for what we're doing right now, I think this is much more about discover us, enjoy us, enjoy what we do. If it resonates with you, if you see it, if a friend says, by the way, this is interesting, that will be the best way to do it. Because we've not got an ambition, or we've not got a requirement. that we need to generate $10,000 worth of revenues next month to keep the show on the road. Different when you're a commercial-led organization.
No, definitely. And I think when I started, Atom's probably a better, well, I wouldn't say better example, but it's a different example to, let's say, DeFacto. When I started Atom, the first thing I did was obviously go to other communities and network with those guys. And that in itself built its own sub-community within those networks of people who were small businesses or startups with, you know, technical challenges. And then when I had the other podcast, the Atom Ventures podcast, that was a very conscious effort there to share knowledge and share experiences and leverage the content that we created there into kind of bite-sized material that people can take away and read or, you know, digest on their own time if they ever come across one of the issues that we talk about, whether it's a technical issue or a business one. And that has in itself built up a nice little community of individuals and businesses around the world, really, that all connected and have done something within Atom, whether it's a podcast, written an article, or, you know, referred work, which makes that quite an interesting community. It may not be in itself something that everyone recognizes as a community, but it is just a big network of like-minded individuals. And that, I keep saying to people, the work that I did in the first year and a half is what paid off in the last year or so during COVID, because it was those connections I made then that actually started referring work during the COVID and post-COVID period. And it was one of those things where, you know, it was constant communication with those people in some, you know, community format, or people understanding, seeing what you're doing.
That was you forming the nucleus of our community there. That was you as the central point, building these relationships and connections all around Bharav and Atom CTO and your wider team in there. Now, one of the issues I have here is that can every business really build a community? Or are there certain requirements required before community becomes a sufficiently compelling thing? I remember donkeys years ago in the early days of website, we had a conference with Unilever, and one of their top marketing guys stood up and talked about websites, and he talked about relationships, and he said, really? Why do we have a website from PG to T-Mag? He says, does anybody really want to be part or valuable part of a community built around the T-Mag? And as a marketer, we go, well, we need to make it important to them. But sometimes it's just not that important. Who cares? Sure, there's a little group that probably do passionately care about PG Tech, but I'll bet it's been a long time since you went into a friend's house and he said, would you like a cup of tea? And you said yes, but only if it's PG Tech. Certainly will not do. It's not that important. But in the world that you have, and the work that you're doing with Atom and DeFacto, these groups, actually, what you do is important enough to want to be part of that community. For me, in the car I drive, it's important enough for me to say, yeah, that little sports car was great, but realistically, when I'm going through to my holiday home, where the hell am I going to put the dog and my golf club and all that stuff? It just doesn't work for people like me when I've got something that actually matters. So before you can really hope to build a community, there's got to be something at the nucleus of it that is important enough to get people to want to be part of it. And I'm minded of a podcast we did quite a while ago with Emma from Kessero. His whole business is about building a community. I know she's working really hard on it, but she's got a tough job. Even when the whole nucleus is around community values and people helping each other. Something that I've never met anybody yet who said, I don't care. That's not important. But getting them to do something about it is a whole other thing. And that's why the perfect solution for every brand is to be that important to its customers that they're willing to build and be an active member of a community around it. You know, I was away last weekend down in the Cotswolds, and we stumbled across a classic car show, and I do like my old cars. And I wandered about, and there was the MG Club was there in the corner with everybody MG. There was a Mini Club over in the other corner. There was a Ferrari Club. It was fairly small. They all shared a venting. They love old cars. But within that, they had something that they bought into even more that they felt part of. And that is part of the issue here. Can you find something important enough to build a community around?
But I think, is there a standard tested? Because most entrepreneurs are going to say that what they are doing is very important simply because they're doing it. So how do you know that, you know, how can you objectively decide on whether what you're doing is important enough for other people to get involved in?
I'm not sure there is there's not really an objective way to do it other than look at your sales ledger. The people are buying what you do, they obviously care about it. It's obviously giving them something. But if they're not buying, maybe whatever is the nucleus of your attempt to build a community simply isn't important enough. I think there's a, we spoke last time about you were saying how you have had so many conversations with so many people in the development of the business, of every business you've ever been in. All that work back then is now paying dividends about how the work that you've been doing with the factor started off with lots of conversations. That's the research to find out, does anybody actually care? Because if you're not getting conversations, nobody cares about what you're trying to do. If you are getting conversations and engaged conversations, then there's probably a community to be had out here.
It's interesting, right? Because I think one of the points I pick up on is that there are certain, it's in the eye of the beholder. For example, I was thinking just now, take an accounting software. I use it, you got Xero, QuickBooks, Sage, whatever it is. Now, I really don't care which one I use. Ultimately, it's just an accounting software. However, I've been to the Xero and QuickBooks conferences, and there are thousands and thousands of people that go to these things and are quite evangelical about Xero and QuickBooks, which I cannot get my head around because they're just accounting systems. But for some reason, it's quite important to somebody else. And I think that's the key, isn't it? Because it may well be that you and I don't really, like, there may be a third person out there that believes in this thing that we don't necessarily have any interest in. Like, and I think it's, how do you find those people in that sense? You may not be necessarily sold to them, but they exist out there that see what you're doing and will like it and may potentially buy, but you don't know
that. This is all about, again, in the language of early stage market validation. Is there actually enough people out there for me to build a business around selling to them, addressing, meeting their requirements? And when you're at market validation stage, most businesses have to go on, I think so. I don't know so, but I think so. And particularly when what they're doing is novel or innovative. Because you can't just say, well, they're doing it and getting that amount of customers and that amount of revenue. One little side issue here I would also point out is that the vast majority of businesses are not unique. They are simply one of a range of very similar businesses addressing that same requirement for that broad community. A little bit like I love classic cars, but actually I'm part of the MG club or the Ferrari club or the Austin Healey club or the Ford club, that's another story. There was four escorts from my youth that are now classic. I never thought I'd see that, but that's because of the community with a nucleus and think that's important. So you don't have to have a community that is entirely yours. You can find a place within it. And that's where Xero and QuickBooks and Sage and all of these guys, they all fundamentally do the same thing. There's an absolute nucleus for each of them of acolytes, actually, who you will never persuade that there's any other option. But around that, there's loads of people at your eye. Why don't you use Xero? Because somebody told me who knew about this community that this was a good one to be a member of. So I joined it, and it's never let me down. And actually, the more I'm part of it, the more I actually will stand up for it. Because I actually am becoming a bit of a believer now. Why? Because it's never let me down.
Well, there's a good analogy here with fashion. I was speaking to a fashion designer yesterday, and he said the first thing that they get taught in fashion school is it's all been done before. There's nothing that you're going to imagine or create that hasn't been done somewhere by somebody in the world ever. And so then I said to him, you know, how do you find your concepts and your niche, and how do you kind of evolve? And obviously, his answer was that, over time you evolve your tastes, and you start off maybe quite flashy, and then you end up understanding that people need to actually wear clothes. And so you move away from the crazy wild designs into something a little bit more practical that people can use. And actually there you've got a very good example of communities, right? People who love Louis Vuitton or Burberry or Gucci or whatever it is, Zara, whatever you want to name. And I think because it's all clothes at the end of the day, a shirt is a shirt, but the different shirts obviously
identify a group in that broad community, that broad requirement, which is a community. We all understand we need to wear clothes to be socially acceptable. But, every now and again you find out that the Nathan Rambler that walks about in the buff has decided, I don't want to be part of that community. And then within that, we begin to find sub-communities with nucleuses, nuclei. And then within that, there's more and more. So we find our little area at which we feel at home. And bringing this right back to the beginning, that's what you've done. That's why communities are important to the work that you're doing around blockchain. There will be, in the broad blockchain community, people and groups out there that I bet you would say, I will never, ever be part of your community, and you'll never be part of mine because we just don't see the same future for what we're doing, and that's just fine. You play your funnel, and I'll play mine, and in around where I am, there will be lots of others who agree, share my view. I'm thinking now, metaphors for it. Is it like the universe of galaxies, that there's various galaxies out there in the universe, and then the further you dig in, the more you begin to identify planetary systems and then individual planets. But they all coexist individually and collectively, but with clear differences between them. And that, for me, is more than communities. That is in the heart of a great marketing, a great business is all about. Understanding that group that you serve, who you're addressing their requirements, at least as well, if not better than everybody else, and being true to them, what it is now and what it will be in the future. And you're patently doing that in the blockchain world right now. The great thing here, and I know this is part of the reason you find it exciting, is unbelievably dynamic. It's not yet settled. There's no equilibrium at all. It's years away from any equilibrium. So it's really exciting, which is why people are out there saying, do we share the same views? Are we in the same gang? What is our gang? What does our gang believe in? Our community believe in?
There's actually a new, I won't go into it because it's going to take too long, but there was a new white paper released recently talking about soul coins and refinding, I don't know what the word is, rediscovering the soul of decentralization. So, but it's an interesting one. There's a kind of a new movement coming to try and take it back from.
And that's another potential little nucleus that a community, that is that really hard bit of going out and building something that nobody's ever done before and being at the heart of it. It's not impossible. Huge leaps forward come from people achieving that. But it's not what most of us will ever do. Mm. Most of us will be about entering communities and then finding a group in there that is aligned. Which is why, marketing is fundamentally the art of segmentation. Taking big things and chopping them up to find one little area in it that is really clearly defined that you are building your business around. Let's call that a community.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Very well said there, Alan.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Cool.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.